Welcome and thanks for listening. Here at Oddcast, we are very grateful to live and record in the beautiful Pacific Northwest on the current ancestral and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish peoples. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Only Wizards in the Dungeon podcast and back to Something Horrible in Whoville. I'm your friendly humanoid skirts.
Spider-Man? Is that what
you're... Yeah, that's a famous character from your humanoid.
Human.
Humanoid.
What makes you think I'm a human?
Sorry. I've checked the files. Okay, pronunciation is hard. Anyways, but I checked your biology and your rectal exams, and I know exactly that you're human. Yeah.
The physics.
I'm a human.
You know? Yeah.
This whole time.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You were in a body of a who. But anyways, outside of this world of horrible who beasts and terrifying multi-hand furballs, I am Cav. So welcome back, everyone, to the agency and agency archives. I will give my fun fact, I guess, after everyone else. So first of all, let's introduce our players at the table, our agents. Let's go with our first player and agent. Please introduce your agent name. I guess your player name, your agent, and then who you're playing in Whoville.
So meta.
My name is Will. I am erectile dysfunction. I don't know why. I'm like, what?
Hold on. No, what was that? Your what?
No, erectile dysfunction. Gambage Yellow, and I'm playing Sister Valerie Wu. Of course, you had to like give me a character with double V's, and I'm like Eastern European, so it's like a challenge, you know? It's like...
I had to make everything end in like Sue.
My
or
sister
Lou.
Valerie Vu.
Double V's, double D's.
Double V's, double D's.
And
erectile dysfunction. Yeah, you could be Russian, Valerie Vu, if you want to make it.
No. Maybe I'll like save it for my next character.
Yeah.
And what's my fun fact? Fuck. My fun fact is that I got 10 tattoos done.
Yeah,
that last week. Here we go.
That's cool.
Yeah.
What's your favorite one that you got of the 10 tattoos?
Okay, so the saddest part, my favorite one is probably the Medusa.
I can't see it well.
So it's the one tattoo.
It's a cool placement though too, because it's like when you're walking, it's like, you know, facing you.
People, exactly. Yeah, it's more like show for others. Also, it's like thematic. I can't look at it the way people can look at her.
I love that. That's what I'm saying. It's like you're not looking at it. It's like looking at everybody else. In
how
a mirror, when you look at it in a mirror, do you also turn to stone or can you only look at her through a mirror?
No, you see, the thing is, I feel like mirror has like magic dispelling
you
properties.
You can't look at her in a mirror or
you can.
You can only look at her. That's why he's got the shield, right? So he's looking. Yeah.
Well, you can't see her in a mirror?
Yeah.
No, what the fuck?
You can only look at her.
Hold on.
In the lore, you can only see her in her reflection.
But the guy kills her by pointing the shield and she sees her reflection
yes,
and dies.
Yes, but he looks
in her
the
own
shield
eyes,
to see where she is and then that way he can find her so that she looks at the shield instead.
I thought he just used the shield
so that he could stab her.
No, the shield turns her to stone.
He cut her head off. Yeah, I don't think he turns her to
Wait
stone.
A
I think
second.
He beheads her.
Maybe well, you're right.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Is there two cannons?
No,
she,
I think
she doesn't
he
turn
literally
stone.
Holds her head.
She
whole thing.
Gets distracted by a reflection and then in the distraction.
You know, yeah, she's like, I'm too hot. She's like, I'm Wendy Williams.
He uses the mirror to approach her so that he doesn't have to look at her.
I like this British version of the myth.
Yes,
it's great.
Yeah.
This is the better version.
This is the version.
Yeah.
Maybe I should give the notes to you guys. You know, like,
but that's why it's just her head.
It's just her head.
Because
that's
she's been beheaded.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's very well done. Great line work.
Thank you.
Good, I like that one the most.
It's
I
a
think,
good
of
artist
all
you have.
Thank you.
And then there's ginkgo leaves, which are very
I
dinosaur.
Ginkgo leaves.
Yeah, they're pretty.
Yeah.
Very dinosaurio.
Anyways,
next player, please introduce your name, agent, and who you are in Whoville.
Hello, I'm Graham. I'm playing as Agent Periwinkle in Whoville. I am Sandra Su Lu, a very go-getter young parking ticket meter reader who wants to be a detective. And my fun fact for the day, I had a dinosaur one prepared to go with the ginkgo leaves, but now I realized a Medusa one as well. So let's go with the Medusa one. There's a famous painting of Medusa beheaded by Caravaggio, which is painted on a papier-mâché shield. And the fun fact is that it is actually a self-portrait and that it's assumed to kind of represent his overriding sense of guilt over the one time he murdered a guy.
Wow, that's so interesting.
Oh, wow.
That's a truly fun fact.
It's incredible.
That puts everyone, that's incredible. Those facts to shame.
It does.
I feel like,
I would say fact check every part of that, but that's how I remember it.
If you guys were to kill someone, if you were to kill someone, would you like really like mentally shame yourself for the rest of your life? You know,
no, it really depends. You know,
I've been watching a lot of American horror story because Jonathan really wants me to watch all of it, and I've been enjoying it. But it has made me realize that I'm a very nice person until you wrong me. Anyways, introduce yourself, other third person.
I'm Gray. I play Agent Umber, and I'm Pretty Who Bunkins in Whoville, a post office worker who, you know, has some parents issues and is trying to make their own way in the world.
Yeah.
And also somehow found themselves in the middle of all this nonsense when I'm really just supposed to be delivering letters at this time of year and keeping to my studies. And my fun fact is, I had one. Hold on a second. It'll come back to me. We talked about so many topics, so just give me one.
Mauled murder.
1 second to pull it from my head. Oh, God. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I can just come up with one.
Okay.
Did I ever tell you about that show Taskmaster?
Yes, we watched.
Okay. Yeah, all right. It's kind of what this is based on.
Yes, yeah. One of the muses. There was a new season of it, and one of the contestants, she's hilarious. She has cerebral palsy.
Is this the person who does stand-up as
well? She does a stand-up comedian, Rosie Jones.
She's very fun.
She's really funny, super animated, hilarious. It's
I think I know her. Is she like the New York one? No,
she's British. But it's some of these tasks require like physical dexterity, and they do not make them easier for her at all. But it's like also she knows she's like such a good sport about the whole thing. The whole show is hilarious, like the amount of shit that she like is subjected to on this show, and they did not make it any easier for her whatsoever. And we're sitting there the first time you watch this, you're like how bad is, like, what point are people gonna go like she also has cerebral palsy? First episode, like it, like fourth task, first episode, she's like, I don't know if you know, and she can't speak very well, but I have cerebral palsy. I don't know if you can tell. Yeah. And it's just like, and of course, like by that point, it's very, very clear that she can't do any of these physical tasks. It's really funny, the whole show. Anyway, but it's like one of those things where I was like, man, this is like super ballsy, like not put some, but I just loved it. It was like exactly what I want to see is more stuff. Like remember me when, I feel like this was like a 90s thing and like early 2000s where you had a lot of people that were just like, you know, willing to put themselves out there and like break down barriers and stereotypes and like all that stuff. And then we kind of got really into the whole, like, no, we don't want to subject her to be embarrassed, but it's like, she's willfully wants to, participate in the show, her favorite show. And I just love that concept. So if anybody hasn't watched Taskmaster yet, like this season was really good for that reason. Now, of course, hilariously, like, we had to put on subtitles we could hear some of the jokes that she's telling because they are so good, but also impossible to
It's much harder to decipher. Yeah, especially at a distance, probably, because there's things happening and you don't
apparently
have, like,
AI's whatever, closed captions is better at deciphering than
the captions they wrote.
Cerebral,
like,
palsy than me.
Oh,
yeah. Well, there you go.
Very funny.
I have not seen that. I actually should watch some of the new Taskmaster stuff because it could be useful for...
There was some good ones for sure.
Yeah, I was just writing things. I mean, I guess I have too many fun facts in this one. One mini fun fact is that I am considering for another arc. We obviously have a sci-fi one that's kind
if
of...
Whoville ever ends. If Christmas ever ends... It's Christmas all year round. Yeah. We never take the decorations down. it's Christmas in this house every day.
I mean, yeah, it's been a bit because it's Call of Cthulhu. It takes some time to get to the end of everything. But there's a sci-fi one in the works, but there is also, I thought about doing it, and I think it will be very fun to do one that is Dungeon Crawl Classics. And that game is really death prone. So the idea is to have everyone play a like Dungeon Crawl Classics game. But if your character dies, you get a new one. And it's just like constantly you're going to get shit. A new character sheet that's different. That'll be like randomized. So you could be really shit. Oh, that's my idea. Because magic is crazy in that.
I love like the whole thing where like it's like you just, you're expendable in a way.
It's kind of fantasy video game. Where
old
it's like
school revival character sheets based on dice rolls.
Yeah, literally. Excellent. It's like I re-roll my stats and then I'm someone new. And Dungeon Crawl Classics is weird because you also, instead of just class of like rogue, magician,
whatever.
There's also like elf and dwarf in their class.
It's a class?
Yeah, because it's like the old like D&D first second edition inspired stuff.
But what do they
stuff.
Do? Is dwarf like axe swing,
dwarf
pickaxe?
Dwarf is like tough. Like you're tough and you're resistant to beer. And, like there's like weird shit.
You're resistant to beer?
Yeah. I forget the actual rules, but I know that like elves are basically like, yeah, if you're an elf, you just like...
acrobatic.
You walk and no one hears you. It's like stuff like that.
Okay.
And we're going to maybe do one of those. But also another mini fun fact.
Could you imagine just like walk living in your house and like you know that there's like people in it but you can't hear them. You're just like, hello?
That's why elves were
best still there? Experience ever.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm here. I'm just in the bathroom upstairs out of nowhere just to flush.
Yeah.
You're like, I thought you went home. Nope. No. Still here.
I can't see you. It's because I'm so stealthy. And the second little fun fact is I made a little web app for random spells. So if anyone's listening to this and wants to use some random spells, there is now a website called flabbergastme.com, and it has a random spell generator that is all the spells from the wizard arc that we played.
Yes.
And yeah. Probably can have more added too.
That's rad.
Whoa.
The way you said it.
That's rad.
Piss.
Yes. Wall of Piss will be there.
If you're lucky, you'll get Wall of Piss.
Yes.
You could get Helicopter Pad. Or
yeah, it'll be Helicopter. very useful. I've also updated them slightly to like fix Circle of Math a little bit. And I found out that as I was doing it, we did Circle of Math wrong. I gave like you the ability to reduce a roll every round,
okay,
but it should only be one, and the
yeah,
guy had three
yeah,
attacks.
Yeah, that makes sense, because we kind of hacked the shit out of that one.
No. But math never comes in once, you know, so it's like
math is universal. It's universal.
At least a six, you know.
Literally. For balance purposes. But anyways, so that was that. And then the third little
that's
fun
awesome.
Fact is,
so that's flabbergastme.com.
Yes, flabbergastme.com.
/ Nothing.
/nothing. And then the other thing is there's a 3D printer. That's the big fun fact is that we now have a 3D printer, a resin 3D printer. It's
there
really cool. We may use it for some things that are podcast related, some
print
personal
some
project
D20,
related things.
Some loaded D20s. That's what Graham's, you know,
go to the
contribution
casinos. We can Ocean's 11 this shit, make some weighted dice.
And only ever lands on ones.
Yes. And yeah, it's kind of fun. It's got a lot. We've still a little more, a few things to set up for it. But we're still deciding where to put it. It's large. It's a very big machine.
Do you think you put it upstairs, maybe?
Most likely we will. Mm. Partially because if we want it on and people are here, it would make noise and it'd be there.
It does. It makes noise.
So it may be better to have it upstairs so when people are here.
If it helps to like bring it up, it can help you.
We should be okay. Me and Jonathan should be able to lift it. We're just waiting for him to finish his KPU final classes because they are... giving him a lot of work in addition for planning to find students. Random Canada news. International students have severely declined from all institutions, even public ones.
Yeah, so and even the professors then are declined.
Yeah.
Have declined.
Yeah, so it's tough. It's affecting that. So they're getting the TAs to do some work to try and go to schools and get like interest in their programs again. So it's kind of outside of his realm of what he was hired for, but it means that that's taking up some of his time. A lot of emailing different people in different schools. In
he's
the
like
Lord
one
mainland.
Of those people, you know, they go door to door and they're like, do you want to buy some knives? Like, it's like that, but it's like, do you want to enroll knives. In like this college
yeah, exactly.
program?
Yeah,
yeah. I used to knock on doors and be like, can I paint your house?
Yeah.
Literally
yeah.
did that.
Can you
that
paint
was
your
job.
House?
Now, can I paint your house?
Oh, can I paint your house?
Can I? Do you have a bathroom?
No,
Trust me, you won't hear me. My footsteps are like an elf's. Like you can't. I don't even know that I'm there.
It's not your footsteps. I'm worried about hearing.
I heard B. So you're just going to the dust and you're like, hi, can I be here?
Can I be in your house?
Can I be in your house?
That's good. Like, all right. Okay.
Why? And then you're like, I just really want to be there.
No, I'd be like, dude, I'd be like, your health is just falling apart. The paint is peeling over here, and your wood is it's rotting. Mm-hmm. Can I?
And
paint
you being there, it's like you have an aura.
Can I be here? Like, no, you just insulted my house.
I'll stand here and hold
for
my umbrella
no reason. Yeah, you can't. Yeah. You're not even offering to help. You're just here on my porch.
It.
Just
well, in Japan, they like hire someone to just like hang out with you. So you being there will motivate them. You know, because you will judge if they don't paint that shit tonight. You're gonna judge them. You know what I mean? So it will motivate them.
Right. I was doing the Lord's work.
Yeah. And on the topic of, I guess, Christmas spirit and that version of the Lord. let's do a little recap then. Last time, you found Donald Sue Liu, I believe you found him in the last episode.
We did indeed.
He gave you sort of a breakdown of his slow descent into madness. He's at like 50-ish sanity, maybe a little bit lower, because of currently his exposure to a book that he found. The Burgundy Book is what it appears to be, according to him. Now, his interaction with the book had caused him to believe that there was a vast conspiracy in the works in Whoville, that something evil was afoot, that a plan was in place for something very bad to happen that would cause the end of Whoville itself. And he based this theory off of translating things in the book in languages he can kind of speak through his connection to the archaeology department and the partner of the professor who was killed in the department, actually. He had gone to the lower levels of a library in the school, and this library had a bunch of essentially rolling shelves, which for people who don't know what those are, they're basically these big bookshelves that are often in university libraries that are designed to be able to close with these massive wheels because it allows you to create more space. So it's a way to have more books in a smaller amount of space. After Donald gave them some information about the supposed problems that were going to affect Whoville, you saw that a set of student cultists were at the exit to the library waiting for you to leave. This included a cheerleader with a vicious-looking, unnaturally wide smile, a man who was a part of a pickle-related game that was discussed. Essentially,
Christmas pickle.
There's a Christmas pickle game.
Not pickleball. The rapidly growing.
Yeah, we gotta find the pickle.
American pastime.
So there was a sort of pickle finding player, and their whole body was filled with pickles under their skin, in their stomach.
I love pickles.
In their body.
Would you like every square inch of your body to be filled with pickles?
I mean, forcing themselves through the skin like they're going to burst.
That's a kink right there. That's a kink right there. Anyway, yeah.
Fun.
Is that a pickle in your pants? You're just happy to see me.
Yes. And then the third person was
Dillboy.
A sad nerd who had the face of a woman, his first date, like Tom Riddle from Harry Potter, that could spin
I
around
love that comparison. That's so good.
Yeah,
right. Sociopath.
Yeah, sociopath who could spin around the head and speak for him, and had backward, basically hands that on one side were his regular hands.
Looks like one side of his hands were trying to grab my boobs. The other side was trying to prevent that.
Sociopath that looks like a ventriloquist dummy.
Yeah, and hands that could basically reverse themselves too, in a weird, awful way that broke the bones.
That Goosebumps character.
Mm-hmm, yeah, mm-hmm. These three characters ran at you as a fight ensued. Sander was able to crush the pickle man with the bookshelves. This caused him to explode in blood, viscera, and pickles.
Vinegar.
I kept failing at every attack. Like, literally, attack.
I know.
Sister Valerie fought the nerd.
Valiantly fought the nerd
with the woman who was concerned that this boy that
Professor
she was attached
Quirrell.
To. Yeah, Professor Quirrell was the actual person.
Tom Riddle was the guy on the back of the head.
Tom Riddle's the back.
Actually, yes. Actually, yeah.
Valerie tried to fight them. The nerd was obsessed with the boobs. The monstrous woman fused to the back of his skull was very upset with Valerie for this reason, because it was her boyfriend, and step off, bitch. And then the other one, which was the smiling...
Jack Nicholson.
The smiling cheerleader.
Oh, yeah.
I think Sandra punched through the chest.
I do have good punching skills.
I think I also got a luck or something like that. Was that that one? No, it wasn't.
No, that was after Purdy ran to the exit with Donald.
Frantically looking for a fire alarm.
Yes.
That I could not locate.
Yes. You were surprised by the head of this group of cultists, a more senior looking cultist with a hooded robe, and they attacked you as you were trying to go. They used what looked like a forgery, some form of lesser version of the Burgundy book that you had, and used a mind blast to cause Donald to have temporary insanity. After doing that, Purdy took the book, and the figure demanded Purdy go with them, and you were able to pull off his hood in an attack, revealing that the leader was the butler of Purdy Hoobunkin's father, his close confidant. Valerie and Sandra ran towards this lead cultist, Purdy and Donald. There was a further scuffle. Valerie deftly dodged the clawing, manicured, vicious nails of the two-faced monster. And then Purdy connected with the book in some strange way and was able to clear Donald's madness using the safe version of its power. Donald had a gun on him because he was paranoid, so he used his gun to shoot the butler in the shoulder. And then Sandra was stabbed through the shoulder by one of those green knives and fell to the ground unconscious, going into shock from the vicious wound. In this moment of crisis, where the butler claimed Purdy had to go with them or they would kill Sandra, Purdy Hoobunkins decided to connect deeper with the book, and in doing so, their hair transformed into peppermint red and white, and you requested to go back to the estate, and when you did that, you were wrapped up in a horrible contorted flesh box like a present, losing sense of where you started and ended in physical space, and then moved through space seemingly impossibly, only able to notice the vague shape of the fur ball with many hands in the distance, moving its way through what you assume was the blurring shapes of Whoville. You arrived in the foyer of the estate of the Whovier family with Sandra bleeding, unconscious. The head of the Whovier estate and the staff quickly will wrap up and subdue, because they arrive. They wrap up and subdue
the butler also.
The butler.
Didn't he kill himself?
Oh, he did. He sliced his own throat. Thank you.
That's right. He said something to me that hurt my feelings, and then he slit his throat.
Yeah. Like,
bye. I didn't even have a chance to say say anything back at him.
Yeah, yeah. And
I'll always resent him for that.
Yeah, he teleported with you, and then he slit his own throat when in the room of the Whovier estate. And then the staff arrived very quickly, wrapped up, and provided first aid to Sandra. And now you are in the room with Madeline Betty Boo Whovier, who is with her staff, her close security guards. Basically, she's got four security guards with her. She comes into the room, and I think she pulled a gun out on specifically Purdy, being like, what happened and what's going on? So it's a bit tense right now. First aid's being applied to Sandra.
And me.
And you. A little bit of first aid's being given there.
You don't have a gun in your face? Is that what you guys are saying?
No, we don't.
Yeah, you're probably not being helped right away.
Huh?
You're not being helped right away because you're not unconscious and bleeding out.
That's fair.
They'll give you a vampire to breastfeed.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll just be like, let's pray.
Pray. Pray
the pain away.
This is where we're at. So, random little fact as we go into this.
Wait,
just
is the
so
guy
you
with
know,
us? What's his name?
Pray the pain away? God, that's not blanking. The teachers of
Donald
the
is with you.
Yeah, Donald's
with you. The head of the family, the Whovier family, I may alter this in the recording if I can. If I can't, a little fact check for myself that I misspoke in a previous episode. Her father's not the Grinch. Her grandfather's the Grinch. Just for update. So, because of the number of years, it wouldn't make sense if it was father. So, she has a gun pointed at you. What do you say? What do you do?
First of all, what kind of gun is it?
This one is another revolver, similar to the one that she gave.
Well, I point my gun at her.
Is it a Derringer?
No, this one's a regular six-shot pistol.
She did not pull it out of her girder.
Yeah.
No.
It's a little bit sketchier for me, knowing that it's got multiple shots.
Yeah.
What did she ask me, sorry?
She asked what happened. Like, what's going on? Because you just arrived.
You need to take that gun out of my face if you want to know what's going on. We've just been through hell and back again.
Ooh, mama. That's right.
Do a persuasion check. And if Valerie wants to provide help, you can give a bonus die.
Okay, this is... Where is persuasion on here?
Or even if you want to try and persuade instead after, if this fails.
I got 55. Yeah, no, not even close. I need to get 10 or lower to persuade somebody.
You say that, and she just, like... She actually, like, cocks the gun.
If you shoot me, you'll never know what happened.
Okay, I'll try to persuade her. Let me roll first.
Okay.
46, but my thing is 60, so I
you succeed. Yeah, so, yeah. What do you say?
I'll be like...
You'll never know what's happened to Heberia.
Is that more persuasive?
That's more persuasive, but I think she's still suspicious of you, so what does Valerie say?
So she's like, you'll never know what happened with Heberia, and she's like, cocks her gun, and I'm like, you'll never know what happened to Heberia, and she's like, oh, I'm listening. You know? You know, you're right. You're right. Hold on.
Word carries weight in this house, Valerie Vu.
I'll be like the same thing, and she'd be like, you know?
Valerie Vu. When you put it like that.
I just say it more like, cause I'm like what? Like, I'm like 80 year old. I'm like 62. I say it with like more like grace and like elderly. Like
so her
like eye, like oomph, you know?
Her eyebrow cocks, but she looks at you and goes,
like, my daughter.
Are you saying you can verify whatever is said by the one who's recently had a change of hair color?
Oh, this is just a...
It's a new TikTok trend. I used 300 V-Bucks.
What is a V-Buck?
Wait, you actually don't know? Hold on, you don't know?
No.
It's for Fortnite.
What
but
is a Fortnite?
It won't be a V-Buck, it'd be a W-Buck.
It could be a V-Buck, you know, V, like the V-Buck.
W-Buck? Doesn't V start with an H?
I've just been through so much.
Look, I'll just say
this
I'm like...
This is just a little bit of a middle... early 20s crisis, and I just
early 20s life crisis.
I just needed a change of pace, of flavor.
Daughter, I saw myself.
Just refreshing, a little haircut.
I was there as this book flew up, and well, I guess she flew up to the book and touched the book.
I don't know what happened.
And the rest is Lord's work, okay? The rest is Lord's work. And
it's all Cindy Lou that did it.
I'll tell her that, like, Cindy's tell her, like, that, like, look, basically what I'll say is, like, out of everyone, I'm, like, the biggest witch hater. You know what I mean? Like, I'm literally the biggest witch, like anti-witch. Like, I'm on X, like, tweeting, like, fucking witches.
W.
Like,
I'm on W.
I'm on W all the time. Anti-witch. But this hit different. You know, it's like, you know, there's, like, those, like, wait, what would be, like, the... minority that everyone hates in Whoville. Like,
it wouldn't be necessarily minority. Everyone's a Who. There's no such thing as alternatives.
Well, the Grinches, obviously.
Grinch would be the only one.
No, because there's the East and West, right? Like,
there is the class difference.
What's
what's
the poor class?
Of normal. So West is poor.
You know, so it's like, you know how...
opposite of...
It is true. It's statistic. Like, normally, like, cities are East is poor.
I'll be
West
like, listen, you know how there's like... people from the West, and technically, like,
is that true in New York?
It's like, it's kind of like how you're from the West, but you're not really from the West, you know? It's kind of like that, you know? It's like, it does look sus, but like, it's not that sus, you know? You know, yeah.
Donald will also help with that a little bit and say, Heberia, yes, no, this person, Purdy, Purdy saved us. We were going to be dead, and they were going to take this book, and he looks terrified. He's worried Madeline's going to take the book, but basically he goes, it's bound to Purdy now. I think he's maybe just pulling this out of his ass, but Purdy was just doing everything they could to help me and to help Whoville. There was a plan, a dastardly plan. And you see that she puts the gun down after both of you kind of able to provide
support. Oh, now
support.
You're willing to listen.
She goes, yes.
I'm trying to Google like nun puns or like nun cliche phrases, and I can't. It's so hard.
So you're looking up nun puns and you found none?
You know what? That's a good one. That is a good one. That is a good one. That is that's good. It's pretty good.
She puts the gun away. The security's
she's
still
like,
there.
We don't. We have this like sound pad, and we never use it for anything.
Oh, I don't have it on.
It doesn't matter.
It made the
gone.
Sound of a flashing LED.
It did.
Moment's gone. Moment's anyways, gone.
I just forget because I think about this stuff. What am I going to do? She puts the gun away and she goes, fine. I must say I'm quite concerned.
It's her. What?
What is what's going on?
I had a page of vibrators open on my phone.
I just tore it up.
Nice.
That's gonna be Sandra's answer if she has to say what she wants for Christmas.
Oh my god, I love it.
The Balesa Air Thrust Pro.
Yes, that is absolutely your answer.
And it
be.
Had to be extremely specific in order to be funny. So
of course.
They also have the most hilarious names of all time.
The nuns?
No, just vibrators.
Oh, vibrators?
And things sex toys.
I was just going off the brand that's always plugged by my favorite YouTuber.
Get it always plugged.
YouTuber?
Wait, you have YouTuber. YouTuber.
There's a whole thing where there's a brand that's sponsoring YouTubers a lot. So she puts the gun away and she looks at Purdy and she goes,
"You ugly.
Apologies for my caution. I am just a little concerned about... We just discussed occult things, so... Are you sure that everything that's happened to you is fine?
I will prove it to you, sister." And I slap her. I just like, I slap her in the face. Like you.
Yeah, you slap her.
I slap you
in the
face. Yeah.
What does Purdy do?
You see? She's normal.
That hurts so much.
And then I grab a fork and I stab her in the hand. No, I stab you in the hand. Does it bleed?
So
wait, how does it bleed?
By a nun. By a woman of...
It's red. It's red.
I believed in the red.
As she bleeds red, it actually goes a little bit like there's a glitter to it, and it like drips off of you and falls to the ground, and it hardens a little bit like peppermint candy as it hits the floor.
I'll be like,
well, that's...
And then she goes to put her hand back on her gun.
That's the first time that's ever happened.
This you see Donald
nun stabbing you or the blood being peppermint?
Can I please speak for a minute?
Okay, yeah, everyone's looks at you.
Everybody, this book, it reminded me of a book that was once told to me when I was a little girl. The same burgundy cover, the same stories, but when I touched this book, it was like it was linked to me since the beginning of time, for eternity. It made me promise to take care of it, and it would take care of me. We made a bond, a connection, a pact of some kind. And I had to use it to save everybody's lives. It's the only thing I could do to get out of there.
Preach, preach, sister, that's true.
But I know that it's got incredible power. It took us from that library all the way here. In one fell swoop, we got packaged inside of a... You guys were there. We got packaged inside of a Christmas present and then unwrapped right here before my butler murdered himself in front of my eyes. He was going to kill Ronald. If I hadn't done something in that moment, if I hadn't held the book, if I hadn't... He wanted this book. If I hadn't taken it for myself to protect it, he would have killed Ronald, and he would have killed us.
Donald puts their hand up and says,
Donald?
Yeah, me.
Donald. He would have killed Donald.
Yeah.
Donald. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Donald.
Yeah.
My bad. I've had a lot going on.
That's really hard. Yeah. Donald goes, sort of thinks about it, and he's a little bit off his rocker at the moment, but he does go, there's no way this could be what it is, but there is... I'm not one to believe in the occult, but I did do a lot of research. Actually, that's what I was looking for at the... When I went to the bookstore and I left you behind, I was looking for essentially... You know, there's occultists and people who write books about things that most people think are just a crock of shit, you know? But sometimes someone is interested.
I hear you, Ronald. I agree.
Yeah, and so they'll be like, oh, I love who tarot cards, and I want to learn how to use them. But I was looking for something that was maybe more real about what these books could be connected to, and I found some books about talking about Christmas witches and what people think they have. Most of the powers or abilities or stories seem far-fetched, the myths, but there is something in them that you do share, which concerns me.
I am a student of history, history, and yeah. I have never in my life believed that the tales in these children's books were anything more than fables. But there's something, I've seen visions, there's something true within them, in the stories. I don't know what it is. It's been altered, but there's something true. There's truth in those stories, and something I can't connect.
Yeah.
The dots.
You can do a history check actually right now if you want.
Yeah, maybe I'll go back into my history.
Especially because you can connect something, because like, you saw a little vision when you connected with the book too of how it was found.
Because I have so little I can contribute in the scenario, I'm just going to roll over and throw up on the
carpet.
Oh,
my God.
Yeah, you all throw. They're trying to help. They've covered the bleeding.
I got a 2.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, which definitely is extreme critical.
Okay, so this is going to be a success that gives you something in related. It's also related to your agent.
On second thought, something in my history knowledge is connecting the dots for me.
So history 2 is going to give you 2 things. The first thing is about just the book and who you are as in Whoville, as Purdy. So you know, as you go back to your character's knowledge of history, what they've studied, that the myth surrounding the Christmas witches are that the women who were Christmas witches could be denoted by having peppermint hair. And it in the myth, it's like hair made of peppermint. You know, it's like it's kind of like, how would that be? Candy cane hair? Like, is it just like a metaphor? Now you see it. It's like, no, it's hair that literally has the color and the smell of peppermint. But it is still, you know, hair that you can style. The stories also had a lot of, you know, there was a bit of bias in the sense that people said, like, historians later were like, a lot of these stories were maybe written with a very anti-Christmas witch perspective, because the Christmas witches were in charge of Whoville in its very founding, and they established a lot of like the traditions or basics components of Whoville, but they were also, according to the stories, these powerful users of magic and sort of could control Christmas spirit in a way that like bound it to their will and let them do things that they wanted with a power that other Whos didn't have. And it was a very select group of people, and it was only women who were able to be Christmas witches. So at a certain
wheel
point...
Wheel of Time, you know, knockoff. Yeah. No.
A Wheel of Time vibe. But there was a problem. After ruling Whoville as like this matriarchal kind of priestess class structure, supposedly a very dangerous creature came to Whoville. And in the stories, it's viewed as like a monster. But a lot of historians in modern Whoville think it's like a metaphor for famine or an internal conflict or like a civil war. And it was used as a justification for why the Christmas witches were bad, because people blame the Christmas witches for this thing coming to Whoville. As you think about it, you're like thinking about monsters and the thing you met and the thing you saw. And there's some overlap of what's described about the monster and the metaphor of what it is in some stories. So that's kind of a component. Now, according to historians, the Christmas witches lost power, and anyone that was publicly very much a witch was targeted and fled or was removed. Some were killed. And the majority of them then just went into hiding. But the thing is, the Christmas witches had a lot of matrilineal connections to different people in Whoville. For some reason, the population of Whoville was relatively small at the very beginning. And so a lot of people can tie their relations back to somebody who was maybe family to a Christmas witch. And so there was this idea that maybe like it could be passed down and there were people still in Whoville who could pass their lineage back that way. But that quickly kind of stopped being important because Whoville grew and the mayor system was established and people kind of forgot about these users of this supposedly famous book. Now, they all had Burgundy books, but the first Burgundy book was famed as like this relic or important magical thing, and it was lost during this initial conflict. And so the idea was that, well, magic doesn't exist because it was like, there's no proof of it. The book that was supposedly this powerful magical thing is gone. And then they had every other Christmas witch who didn't have the first book, they would have copies. And these copies were these replicas that were storybooks. There was rumors they could still use limited magic via these books, or like they had some connection to it, but it was less powerful, less effective, or maybe not, maybe just more metaphorical, like a showing off your connection to the group that is the Christmas witches, instead of being a practical implement or tool of the priesthood or of the priestesses. And so that's what you get from just the history component of going back and being like, if this was real, if Christmas witches were real, if there was something magical they controlled before they were wrested from power and everyone forgot about this like book that they had, then it could be that you are connected to one via a family line. And then you think about Madame Vera and how she was like, she taught you things and was very close to you and had a copy of this book and always was kind of supportive of you and trying to like nurture maybe you in a way that was a little different from other children because she liked you, was close to you. And she disappeared mysteriously, but she also had this book herself. And you're like, well, was she related at all to this? Connected in some way to the lost
maybe we
groups?
Shared DNA at some point.
Could
maybe
any of the rest of your family see Lady Vera?
It's a very good question.
Oh, shit.
But either way,
she's an aberration. She's an elf.
Yeah, you don't know how the witches work, so like that's no kind of a component there.
Yeah, you're so quick. You just turn up out of nowhere.
Also, because you rolled a two,
so quiet.
You will remember the vision you saw of the people that found the book, the witches, in the first place. Yeah, yeah.
They all turned into, they all had the same hair. Was that what happened?
It wasn't that they had the same, they got the same red hair.
The hair.
But they also were wearing very, like, what looks like damaged,
right, but their clothes, everything changed and they turned into who's.
Yeah, and they turned into who's with the nice Christmas dresses and everything.
Right, they
started off with very damaged looking clothes that looked like this.
Damaged though.
Yeah, damaged. Like they had been ripped and maybe some like fire damage or some soot on them of some sort. They were not equipped or dressed for being in the mountains, which is interesting. And they were wearing this, and they all had like a little pin that looked like little wings, like a little V wing.
I wonder what that would be. Yeah, exactly. Who dresses in like pencil skirt? I mean, almost like a stewardess's outfit. You know what I mean? Like, who would wear that and then have a little wing thing, maybe an ascot?
Yeah, an ascot.
Hair done up like that, and then all tattered, burnt, singed.
What possible people could possibly be those?
Road workers? Like, are they building something through
the
mountains?
Had they just been in an airplane crash?
No. Airplanes don't crash.
So you see this sort of, you recognize that in your vision. While that's happening, Sandra is getting a knife wound healed. You get to roll a D3 because you have, first of all, how this works is you've received a major wound. So you have to check off a major wound on your sheet, and then you will re-heal a D3 of hit points from receiving medical attention.
Oh, God, that could easily leave me still in really bad.
A D3, that's it?
Yeah.
At best, that will double my HP.
What's your HP at right now?
3.
Yeah.
Where did my this go? Here we go.
So it's not just his HP being low. It's also the fact that he got hit a certain way. Or
yeah,
is it,
because okay, he yeah, took a certain over half of his life in one hit. He took a major wound, and then he failed the con save. So the con save caused Sandra to go unconscious, but the major wound was still dealt for doing half.
Oh, shit.
Your
arm is literally hanging up.
Yeah.
What is the wound that he got?
Okay, So I don't have a D3, so I rolled a D6 and it gave me 3. Now, to divide that up into 3, I would say 1 and 2 is 1, 3 and 4 is 2, and 5 and 6 is 3. Is that...
Yeah.
Yeah, so 2.
Okay, so you get two more. I'm at
5 HP.
Now, whereas recovering from regular damage is relatively fast, you just spend a day and every day you get 1, and you can get medicine during the day to get like more HP for wounds. So you can get medicine done for your boobs and then get 1d3 for Valerie because they have staff here. And you can actually get medical treatment here as well because they have staff here. So everyone here can roll a d3 basically for medical treatment. But regular damage is like once a day you get 1 point. Major wounds, even if you receive medical treatment, when you have a major wound, it does not go away. What it means is at the end of the week of game time, so in a week's time in game, well after Christmas, if it is, you roll
it's always Christmas in-
a con roll for every major wound.
360
box.
Days till Christmas.
Yeah. And essentially how that works is if at the end of every week, you roll to a con save to see if you fix the major wound. If you do, you will get a D3 hit points. And on extreme success, you get 2D3, and you get a bonus die if you're resting in a comfortable environment, a bonus die if you receive effective medical care, and a penalty die if you were in a poor environment or unable to take rest and or the doctor did a bad job. Now, this takes an hour for you to get medical treatment, so you're all resting in the space.
So basically you're saying if I fucking put him on a memory foam mattress, he'll heal faster?
No, it just means that if he's been on it for a week and hasn't moved around too much and has received medical care, then he'll get more likely more HP back. Now, yeah.
I thought it was like, yeah, my arms hanging off my body, but this Tempur-Pedic pillow is...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It also is harder to get medical treatment if it's not performed on the same day. So luckily this is the same day. And first aid also can be provided. So they're going to give you first aid. I'm not going to have them roll because they're going to work like this is the most, some of those well-paid people in Whoville. So you actually would get 1 HP from first aid, luckily. And then you'd get an additional 2 from the medicine, from actually dressing the wound and cleaning it and stuff, et cetera. But you still have a major wound, which basically means you... like have still a deep knife wound and it's been like stitched, but if you move too much, you could open your stitches again and like bleed and have more problems there. So
hell yes, I will just be the party sniper.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe harder for you to be up close and personal. Yeah. You keep the major wound until you get an extreme success generally on a recovery roll, which would be at the end of the week. But you do have your current hit points have recovered to half or more than half of your HP, right? So are you at more than half of your HP?
Yes, I am now at 6 with the +2 medicine and the +1 medical aid.
So how this will be is just because you took a knife wound to kind of, we said the shoulder, we'll say that this, you have a penalty die when you're trying to use fists at the moment, just because you're not the best at fighting with your stitched arm, stitched chest, basically, that had a knife wound in it. That's what happens to you. You are all given medical care too. So you can roll a D3 or roll a D3 and you can add that to your HP for any HP that you've lost so far.
Wait,
a D3.
A 1.
So you get 1 HP back. How much did Purdy get back for any damage? If Purdy has any damage.
What am I rolling for that?
A D6? D3. Oh, D3. So D6 doesn't divide by 2.
Wait, how does D3 look? I'm trying to think about it. D4 is
like a weird pyramid. Football thing.
Yeah.
Like a triangular prism.
What is
prism's
one
four-sided?
Cut in half?
One. So one HP extra back.
One divided by 2?
Yeah. So you get some medical care, and you are basically... It takes an hour. After an hour, you see that Madeline's basically, I'm going to go get some food and drinks and we'll discuss what we need to do after this. Meet me in the where we met before. And you see that she goes off with security. You get some attention for an hour. And then Sandra, you wake up like after an hour from just this having gone like stitching. So that may have woken you up as well. And you like have this very painful wound in your body. You're with everyone here though. So, but what this, in this moment of reprieve before any other staff members come in to bring you to speak to Madeline, you can speak freely with each other. So is there anything you want to discuss before you get approached by characters in game?
Y'all have heard of Tickle Me Elmo, but have you heard of Wake Up Screaming in a Cold Sweat Elmo? Because that's what Sandra's doing.
Yeah. You wake up, cold sweat, stitch in your ar- in your chest.
So I know she's suffering and all, but is there any way she can like just keep like it down a little bit? I don't need to really suffer too, like, you know what I'm saying?
It's distracting from me and my prayers.
I don't also need to connect to Cindy
and it's just like,
yeah,
this is unholy, whatever this is happening right there. Yeah,
we've all been through excruciating shit, you know what I mean? I didn't yelp this.
I cracked
much,
my right? back like the other day. It's ice cream like that. What is
I know.
This,
you know? Yeah, exactly.
Now,
I slammed my hand in a car door once.
Mm-hmm.
Excruciating. I didn't make a pee.
No, I lost, like, my head got chopped off that one time. You know? Yeah. Like, look at me, I know.
Do you know how many times I've been, like, run over? Literally shot,
every other day.
Exploded on every single one of these missions. I never yelped like that.
I didn't realize we were the four Yorkshiremen here.
And she calls herself a police officer, you know? It's just...
I know.
Take one for the team, you know?
Are you saying this all not knowing Sandra is currently awake?
Oh, no, because they're complaining about her screaming, so they must know that she's awake.
Oh, yeah, so Sandra, you're like, and then...
And we both have, like, the nail, like...
The doctor leaves, and you're now alone.
Oh, I didn't realize there was a doctor here still.
I mean, I guess you have to be.
The doctor understands. Yeah. Listen, like,
yeah, the doctor's like, you're telling me. Bad.
Yeah, like...
The doctor takes out his earplugs and is like, sorry, what?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't listen to my patients when they're screaming. It's too much work.
It's too much work. They just, they're whining.
I don't listen to my patients at all. They don't have medical care.
I've been cut. I've been shot. I've been, oh, I'm dying. I'm 1 inch of my life.
Tell me something new.
Yeah, exactly. It's always the same thing. It's never, how are you? How was your day?
Yeah, it's never, what about you? You know, what about me?
This must be so hard on you to have to save my life.
It's the most annoying, arrogant doctor.
Also, like, what is with the accent?
I can also imagine he's wearing, like, HoopPod 4, you know? Like, the extra noise canceling.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not even subtle. They're just the AirPod.
Wait,
the
it would be AirPod
Maxes.
AirPod 4.
AirPod.
Wait, what?
AirPod Max.
Because who? AirPod.
Oh, yeah, okay.
AirPod 4.
Yeah, AirPod 4, yeah. And they're giant, like, you know those, like, winter mittens?
Or HoopPod.
HoopPod?
HoopPod 4.
HoopPod Max.
HoopPod Max.
HoopPod Max.
And he goes out.
iPod, U-Pod, HoopPod.
HoopPod.
Yeah. HoopPod.
Okay, so... Anyway. Poor
Well,
Sandra.
Okay, we like, you know, she does her thing, whatever, like... Unceremoniously.
She does her thing. She screams in agony.
Whatever.
And heals slowly, by might I add.
Yeah.
Heal faster.
So what's the plan?
What's the plan? It's like, it's just...
My wound smells like peppermint.
Yeah.
Well, that's great,
and
honey.
Gingerbread.
That's great.
Well, it smells like gingerbread. Oh no, is
can
the
I,
infection
can
spreading?
Can I like spray some holy water? Like I have like a little spray can. It's like Axe holy spray, you know?
Like, I do like the idea if you had like a perfume bottle of holy water.
Yeah.
But it smells like fresh baked cookies, so it's like...
Like, we're good. Yeah, you know?
That's lovely.
Well, speaking of your small axe, we should probably go investigate that Christmas tree farm at some point.
Well, we should investigate your attitude during this whole thing. You know, you didn't make this doctor. Yeah.
I'm all for going to Christmas tree, but Brian, but like honestly, if you're gonna complain the whole time, I just can't.
I thought my attitude was nearly fatally positive. I was like, yeah, fuck these assholes. I can kill them.
You know, it's so funny because it was like we were just start. I was just starting to feel like, man, it's kind of calm. Like, there's not that much noise. Like there's nothing going. You know, what I mean, like it's like there's no buzzing in my ear all the time.
Maybe
like everything was pretty chill, and then now you're awake again.
Look, you know, even the holiest sent us things to test
like things
us
are
in
looking
this
up.
Life, okay? Right. And this is just another test you have to get through.
You know what I'm saying? It's like I'll put up with Periwinkle when like he's pulling his weight, you know what I mean? But it's like if he's injured, he's nearly dying, it's like I can't be dragging like him around everywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway, right. So the farm.
Right. Okay. Yeah, there's a farm to go to.
Okay, so while you're resting here, basically being upset with Sandor for making too much noise as they get stitches. You can level up. In Call of Cthulhu, investigators gain skill improvements by rolling a D100 at the end of a scenario or session. We're going to do it now. Against any skills they successfully checked during play. If the roll exceeds the skill's current value, you get to add 1d10 points to that skill. So any skill you can remember using, you can now roll a
that
D100.
That you succeeded in.
Yes, okay, that you have.
I swear to you that even though I failed like 9 times out of 10 in the fighting, I did succeed once.
I think you did succeed once.
I did succeed once. I did. I remember that.
So if you can remember, you succeeded in a check.
Like persuasion. Like, you know, all those, like the list of all those
so
things.
So am I rolling it now, you said?
No, you just increase it.
But it's not about if you succeeded. It's whether you used it. If you've used the skill, you roll a D100.
And if you don't?
Then you don't add any skill points. That's how it works.
Oh,
so, okay.
Got it. So it's got to be something. So I'm only doing this to one skill.
You do it for every skill you've used. And then we'll see who got any significant increases. We'll ask everyone what they got that was significant. Did you get anything significant with your increases?
Yeah, well, I mean, I remember using 3 skills. I used like probably like 5 or 6, but there were like 3 main ones that I used and I succeeded in all of them. Brawl.
Yep.
Is one, and then I used Persuade. I got from 60 to 68, and then I got Psychoanalysis from 75 to 83.
Nice.
I don't remember if I ever dodged, but like it's fine. Oh,
you did. You did.
I did dodge. You know what? Yeah, because we're on the bike.
Spot hidden.
Yeah. Spot hidden. I think all of you have used spot hidden because you attempted to look for things.
Yeah, okay,
in the
that's
past.
What I was like. I was like.
And specifically, Sandra did listen. You used listen at some point for sure.
Yep. I'm up to 60 on listen. I only got a +1 to my firearms, so I'm at 51 instead of 50. Hooray!
Hooray!
same with persuade. I only got +2.
Yeah.
But I got a full 10 to listen and a full 10 to dodge.
Nice.
And, a full 10, Jeb.
Whoa. Yeah.
You and, learned to run.
Right? 7 to spot hidden, but that puts it up to 82, which is pretty darn good. Did I climb when we were investigating the office?
No one climbed.
We looked out the window when we saw the monster climb.
Yeah, we saw the climbing, the claws.
Persuade, did I use Intimidate?
Yes.
Brawl? Does that count?
You used
lots
Brawl.
Of combat.
I think you fought with Brawl at one point. You tried to
fighting
grapple
fighting Brawl?
Someone.
Yeah, I think I did.
You grappled Maribel.
Good, everyone needs to level up their Brawl because I'm not going to be good at it anymore.
Yeah, one arm.
Yeah, one injured
All right,
arm.
Cool.
Okay.
I think that's everything.
So, yeah, any big significant changes for Purdy?
Yeah, I my best one was firearms. I increased from 25 to 35.
Nice. You can actually use your rifle a little better now.
Yeah.
As you are waiting, resting, getting some stats increases, you will go down to the, essentially down to the seating room where Madeline is sitting and waiting for you. She's got an alcoholic, like hard hot chocolate just by her and a bunch of cookies and she's eating some. Mm-hmm. And she says, sit down. Okay. First of all, who of you doesn't have a weapon? I mean, a ranged weapon.
Well, I've got this rifle, but I just pulled it off the wall. I don't really know if it's the best thing.
I take out my snowflake cross-looking thing, and I'm like...
Shuriken, yes.
Yeah.
It's like, I have mine. I have everything I need.
Some ninja star. Okay.
Get them a pistol, and you see that a pistol just gets shoved into your chest.
Oh, this is a nice relic.
Yeah.
All right.
You still have your gun. The rifle will function for now. It's probably going to be more powerful than any pistol I can give you. But if you want a pistol, I could give you one.
Well, if you're giving them out.
Sure. And you see, she gives you a pistol as well. Just an extra one.
You a pistol.
I would recommend having some form of close combat option in case the gun is not effective. But for now.
I'm pretty good at brawling.
Okay, great.
I used to be good at brawling.
Specifically like. Hands.
It's like hand to hand.
Yeah,
okay. In combat.
You can choose specialties. Krav Maga. Like Krav Maga would actually be like a specialty of Brawl. You'd be Brawl, so Krav Maga as like a separate thing. And she goes, okay, you said you had places to go.
Wait, I'm sorry. One second. Sorry. What? I have a skill called Fast Talk. And
oh,
it's
yeah.
A 5.
Fast Talk is like, when you want to like, it's like, kind of like lying.
It's like, why lie? Yeah, it's like you like tell a story and like,
yeah, you're like, before someone can like, analyze it and understand what you're trying to say.
I was like,
it's like you just keep saying stuff to like,
yeah,
you know,
to like throw them off.
Throw them off.
Yeah.
The Gish Gallop.
Yeah, I guess Galap, basically. So as you are, you're here, she goes, okay, you said you had things to do, and you said that you were still looking for my daughter. As much as I am concerned about your sudden hair color
change. It's just a hair change, darling.
I also know we're dealing with something strange. The person that you brought here, their body, their blood is green. Mm-hmm. And
but for if anyone should understand that someone's hair doesn't define them, it would be yourself. Their hair color, I should say.
Puts their head around. If anyone should be aware that there are forces at work that are sometimes reflected by the color of someone's hair, that would also be me.
Right, so you should know that it's not anything to do with you or your efforts or intentions. It's just that we need to understand how to harness these powers.
She, Pretty. Like, drinks her iced alcoholic hot chocolate.
For the right purposes.
Chugs it all, puts it down. Okay.
And you know how to help.
Are we sure that the butler didn't just smoke like a colossal amount of reefer?
I don't think so. I'm concerned about two things. We checked his body. And not only does he have a note on him basically directing him to go to the address that you found him at this university, I can confirm that is the butler of your father. We were able to check his IDs.
I also can confirm. He looks, he's the one I know.
Which concerns me because that means I don't know how much your father is involved, which is partially why I'm a little bit hesitant to trust you.
Well, I never drew that conclusion. I did not. I must say, I thought my father was, well, I don't know what he feels about the history of, he's always been somebody who's looking forward, not somebody who dwells on the past.
Do you know if he's been doing anything suspicious recently? Has he not been attending work? Is he doing something weird with the businesses?
Well, I don't really ask him much about the businesses. I don't really want to start. If I start asking him about businesses, he starts asking me about my life, and I'd like to keep them separate, you know?
That's fair. I understand. I did the same thing with my father. Okay, this is a problem because I cannot, although I can provide my support, if someone as wealthy as the Bunkins family patriarch is currently, if they're involved, then you have to be even more cautious.
Well, what would he be involved by?
I don't know. His butler tried to kill you.
Right, but he sells Christmas gifts, you know, at bargain prices in department stores. What would he have? What would be his motivation for any of this?
Is there anything he thinks is precious? Maybe he's trying to protect or he could benefit from working with this strange group of people.
Well, I can't see why, apart from maybe they can offer him something.
Your father is all about
value,
selling knickknacks and toys, things that people want.
Maybe on Hubei.
At the department store, at Santa's little helper.
I haven't seen him go to church in a while. I haven't seen him.
That is true. He actually has not been to church in a while.
I don't think he's ever been to church. not that I know.
Suspicious.
Interesting. Yeah. You're like, that's suspicious. Like, meanwhile, like, nobody goes to your church.
Suspicious.
I would just be
my
cautious.
Mom. What about my mom, who's a fashion designer?
Your mom has actually been out of the house. She decided. Remember, he mentioned that your mother was going to go stay at her studio to work on her winter collection, her post Christmas collection, because there's a pre Christmas collection.
She's already
and
working
post-Christmas.
On the post Christmas for next year.
For next
she's
year,
already, she's already working on next year's post Christmas.
Yeah,
Christmas
and so she's already in her happy place, as she calls it. Given your parents have a bit of an estranged relationship, your father is more concerned with your well-being and your education and your upbringing. Your mother being a little more disconnected, but also, like, you know, busy with her own work. She sometimes would just go off and work in her studio for like months, like a month at a time, and just be not in the house. So it's not unknown of to you. But what is weird is that generally she should not have work because her Christmas collection came out for Christmas. her next collection doesn't have to come out right after. So her being there now is a little out of place. Like, she doesn't normally work as much, and she is normally with your family during holiday events. She hasn't been this year.
Right, right.
As she's talking about this, she also goes, well, either way, my question to you is, where are you going next? I can't provide a security detail. We need to protect my children and the estate, but I can maybe send one person with you just to bring you to a location, give you a driver. It'll be safer than going alone unless you wish to take the scooters that I know you... Wait, do you have your scooters?
No, they were left at the school.
Then I'll have to give you a driver. I could give you a driver to go to wherever you wish to go.
Well, we would greatly appreciate that.
At least something. It would speed things up.
If we walked, this Sandra would be wailing the whole way.
Yes, I heard about just how loud it took, how much work it was to get the stitches in. Absolutely.
It's okay. I can Sandra give her a joint. Sandra rolls her eyes
very loudly.
She'll be okay.
There was a point where the stitch went in wrong. It was like, that was like, again, whining the whole way, undone, yeah. And then just to stitch it back up again, you know?
Either way.
Are you going to cry like that every time we do a U-turn?
Yes.
Yes. Because it's a break. It's a violation of parking and driving laws.
That is correct.
You can't do a U-turn.
Because it's a crime.
It's a crime.
See, that's the upside of us getting a driver is they don't need to park.
Yeah.
They can drive around the block several times.
Yeah. She just goes, okay, so... my question to you then is, I'll give you a driver. I've given you some more weapons, something to protect yourself, at least while you're out there. Given that now I know we seem to have proof that you're being targeted and whatever you have on you, they want. I'd recommend you leave it here, and you hear Donald, who's in the room with you, because he would have stayed with you and then gone down, yells very loudly, no, 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 no. The book stays with us. It stays with the person it's supposed to be with Purdy.
Well... Ronald, Donald.
Donald,
I'm sorry. I know it's you, Donald. I really appreciate that. I don't know what's best right now, myself.
No, you don't understand. I think maybe this is right. I was seeing so many horrible things, and it wasn't working for me, and the book was just giving me awful visions, but with you it's different. Maybe it likes you, or it thinks that you have what it takes. And he kind of goes to grab your hand and then goes back. And maybe this is what we need right now.
Well, I don't know, because I really felt so awful while I was using it, you know? Maybe I just need to get more used to it, but I just... It scared me a little bit.
It scared me too. I felt awful too. But I knew it was all for an important greater purpose. To stop whatever is going to happen.
Maybe you're right. Okay.
You see that basically Madeline will look at Valerie and just be like, Valerie, I know that you are helping these two with their investigation. Seemingly, in the case of Purdy, their father's involved, which gets them involved in this investigation. But I know Sandra is more interested in the overall Christmas crime. I must ask, why are you helping them? Is there something that the church cares about?
The this devil. Arrangement? I'm here to stop the devil. I've seen it with my own eyes. You don't understand. The green.
She looks at like things.
Well, the other devil. This is pretty bad too, but there is some more green.
The anti-Lou.
She looks at
the anti-Lou.
The anti-Lou.
The anti-Lou.
She looks at her hands, which have a little bit of green hair. And she's
don't worry. It's the different shade of green.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
There are many shades of green.
Okay, well,
sister.
I guess I wish you luck then. Where do you want to go for... I don't know if you've got a few places... maybe you've got a few places to investigate. But
wait, we haven't... Sorry, we still have not gotten to the museum, have we?
No. So what you currently have is possible things that are just like hooks...
Little plot hookies
to
mountain,
go through.
Kind of.
Mount Crumpet is described as being a place. The tree farm, which is suspicious with suspicious Dora. Accounting.
We should go there.
there's now your father and the weird things happening there, but
stay away from him.
That's a different thing.
Museum? The trash tunnels.
Avoid my father.
There's the reliquary, which is associated with the church. The reliquary is more like related to like what happened to the security, because the church is all about security concerns. So it's like, why are they all worried about security concerns?
But wait, but sorry for interrupting you, because it's like. When we went into university, we should have like...
You could ask Donald about the things he found. But in reality, he never brought them to the reliquary office because in the, amongst them, the thing he found was the book.
The book, Well, okay, let's drop that part. Okay.
But so it's more about like what's happened to Father Gregory. Is he okay? Because he's gone, you know, silent. There was a reference in the accounting for Sugar Plum Cabaret, which was referenced as being another weird place. But generally your two ones that I think you has been on your mind are the Christmas tree farm and the Mount Crumpet in general, which is connected to the garbage tunnels.
Somehow I assume Mount Crumpet feels like Final Boss territory.
I mean, who knows? But yes, the idea is that you have a few options. Location-wise, Sugar Plum Cabaret.
The tree thing, I think.
Yeah, let's stay away from my father.
Yeah. Or your family. Oh, and also your mother's studio.
And my mother's studio. Let's stay away from them because that's kind of my shtick. It's what I don't really want to see.
Is this your side quest? You know
what I mean? I don't really want to see. No. I just don't want to see them. You know what I mean? Okay. If I don't have to.
Well, let's go to the tree farm.
Because they're going to have all these questions.
Yeah. You know, Purdy, I know you were offended that time I hit on your dad at a Christmas party, but like, I am not making trouble over you and Ronald right now, so I think we should be allowed to go see your dad. He's a really good dad.
Will that wound get infected, do you think? Do you think there's a high probability that wound gets infected?
She goes, no, I have excellent doctors. Again, we have to deal with physical, I don't know what to call it. What's the term when something comes out of your body and it's alive?
A pimple.
Sure. Physical baby pimples. And so we need someone who can make sure that there's
I'm just imagining that boob stamp. That stamps China.
Yeah. And we need to make sure we always have doctors on staff.
Her abdomen's so swollen, we need to lance it.
Oh, God. Quickly, get the mint.
Okay, so if we go to the tree farm, I could do. Let's do the tree farm. Because that accounting thing, that feels like that's a sort of a strange. That could also relate to everything else, no? Because I feel like it's money.
I mean,
money
trees changing are green. Hands,
business. I can't see how that relates to my dad, but my father, but that could be related.
you're like trying to like every way possible to find out how this location may or may not relate to your dad.
I like
you know?
Crumpet stuff because the dump into crumpet tunnels sounds spooky, but I don't want to be dragging Sandra through those tunnels just in case, you know, gets squirrely in there.
Donald will carry me.
Also, the driver would just be able to get you to a tunnel system.
Yeah.
They wouldn't really.
Yeah,
be able
I think the driver should take us and then wait outside of the tree farm. Take us to the address, whatever that is, the address. What was it called?
It was Robbie's Christmas Tree Farm.
Robbie's.
Robbie. That's like an uncharacteristically normal name.
Can we ask
if she knows anything about it?
Yes, Betty Boo.
Melanie. Melanie. Madeline has anything to say about this. Madeline's going to get you the driver. So you see this elderly kind of, let's say, 50-year-old who... handsome, actually, for Valerie, probably a little bit. A little bit like,
And for Sandra, apparently.
Yeah. Now that you're into older men.
You got to keep your blood pressure down, okay? Because you just keep fucking... You
know, the stitches come out.
Yeah.
He comes in. He's obviously quite a refined gentleman because he's been a driver for many years for the company. Has a nice little curled mustache and gray hair. He has a little little cap and a little suit on. And he comes over. He says, "Hello, nice to meet you. I'll be your driver."
Can I get the mold of your snowflake cross, please?
You are a follower of Saint Cindy and pulls out a little.
Somehow you made that way weirder than asking for his dick mold.
No, I'm not asking for
like then
dick
the original concept. It's way weirder
for his mold of his like relic thing. So I can hold it closer.
I have multiple. A sister.
That's the weirdest
would
body part I've ever.
And of course, I have my look.
I have multiple.
Take out this huge like thing. You know what I mean?
Security's like, how did that get past us?
It's holy power, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's like undetectable by security. Yeah. But look, having a second one, you know, it's just sometimes you just need double the dose.
Do you want it? I have multiple because I always donate to the church.
Is that okay with you?
And they give extra. Yeah, of course. Gives you their
bless you, child.
Of course. Anyways, I'm supposed to drive you all around.
Yeah.
You see, he's a little confused because you're a nun.
Take your time.
Oh, okay.
Who's driving? Like, you know, slowly. Like,
as you need refreshments. I've always been giving a 10-star
everything in front of me.
Oh, okay.
All of it. Woo-hoo-hoo.
Oh, okay.
How refreshing.
He blushes a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we should... I'm ready to drive. Ready to drive wherever you want to go.
I'm ready to be driven. I'm ready to be driven.
Mm, yes.
Matt, can you put that one in the trunk?
Before you two figure out where you're going to take each other for a ride, we do all need to get somewhere.
Can I put her in the trunk?
Matt, would you be comfortable in the trunk?
I'm very compact.
Well, again, whatever people want.
If she's not complaining, then we could put her in the back.
My brothers often call me the troll girl.
I feel obligated to say that my last helping hand murdered themselves in front of me.
That's understandable. I know that there's some concern. Don't worry, I have no weapons on me. He opens up his shirt and jacket so you can like show that he has nothing on him that would be a threat. I'm only
just a flasher.
just
so you know.
And then goes
only my cross.
Is it all four of you? Show. Because you see Donald shakes his head and goes, I can come with, but maybe I should stay here. I don't know.
Wait, but doesn't he feel compelled to come because of the book?
Do we have a gun for
Actually,
Donald?
You're right. He would probably come. He has a gun of his own, so he'll come with you.
I think he'll come.
He's also attached to me.
We can use him as a martyr. Say no to another warm body with a gun.
He's also on the hook, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So you all like get in this car.
Sandra's going to probably try and protest, right?
I mean, it's up to you. Donald is going to be like, yeah, I'll come.
Donald, you've been in enough danger already.
Get in the trunk.
Afghanistan.
That's enough out of you.
I remember when I went to Afghanistan.
Not one more peep out of you, okay, Sandra? And
which,
also,
in the context of Whoville, is where blankets come from?
Yeah, it must be.
Oh.
A factory nearby.
Yeah.
We found a grain of sand once, and we assumed Afghanistan.
That's right.
They're knit Afghan blankets.
I have to go, Sandra. The book needs to be protected, and I have a gun, and I can be helpful and useful, and just because I see things in the dark sometimes when I close my eyes doesn't mean I can't also still hit. I shot the man in the shoulder. I can help.
Look, he's ready to be on his own. Okay, he's ready to
just make sure there's no actual bullets in that gun.
Look, there's bullets.
Spins it. And he has like extra in his hand.
And I have an extra pocket box. I'm very prepared. And I have a knife.
Pulls out a knife. I have a grenade, you know. He's like,
he's better armed than any of us.
Pulls the pin. Pulls the pin. Puts it back.
Yeah.
All right.
I was looking for a grenade, actually.
I couldn't find one. There, Donald, you don't need to keep brandishing your weapons.
We believe you. It's okay.
I believe that you're ready.
I think Purdy would like you to brandish a weapon at her.
What? Oh.
Why are there noises still coming from the trunk?
she just like really wants you to pull a knife on her. I don't know.
He blushes and goes to the car. I assume everyone's outside just like waiting to get in the vehicle. You get inside.
Make sure to hit every speed bump on the way. Every pothole.
I'll try, but we won't find those until we get to the outskirts of town near the Christmas tree.
Find farm. Some.
Okay. Oh, look. Mrs. Sorry, I didn't get your name.
You can call me Val.
Sister Val.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable? Do you have a good... Are you having a good spot in the back there?
Look, the back is just a little too tight. I see you have... A seat right next to you over there. It just looks
in
so
the driver
much wider.
Section?
In the driver section.
Sure. Yes.
I know it's like modest, but you know, in the church, we're used to more modest things.
Yeah, of course. I would only expect modesty from someone of like yourself.
Oh yeah.
He's completely like over his head.
It was the most modest sound I've ever heard.
I will modestly sit in that chair of yours.
Okay, yeah, of course. If you need water or
I love
mint,
that you have to name everything as look how modest I am sitting in this chair.
So modest.
Look how modest I am spreading my legs.
you go in, you sit down in the car and you drive off. It takes you about like probably 20 minutes because you have to go through traffic. And
as we're driving, I
just got to hit a few more bottles. As we're driving, out of our way.
I'll just like temporarily spread my legs. Put my head inside and get a cracker. I'm getting hungry. It's a long ride, okay?
Yeah.
I just see like visible heat lines, waves.
I'm just eating my crackers, you know?
Yeah. And he like notices the crackers. He's like, oh, okay. You have brought your own snacks.
They're like crumbling like in between, you know? They're just like dropping over there. Yeah.
He like notices them, but then like looks up because he's a devout man.
Yeah.
He's also not our fucking driver. And he doesn't need to be distracted
roll
right now.
Roll for driving, you know?
I'll roll for driving.
Shit, let's do it. Wait.
Dude, I hope it's bad.
You don't hope it's
for
bad.
The sake of,
crash.
No, for the sake of...
He's a good driver,
whoever's
though.
In the trunk.
Fair.
Whoever. We don't know.
Whoever. Yeah,
he got a 17.
Nice.
So he just, like, expertly weaves through traffic, gets there a little
as
bit
every
faster.
Every 17-year-old does, yeah.
Is able to hit, like, a few potholes on request and then gets to...
The potholes!
The town of Whoville like effects, huh? Fades away because
that's weird. No whining all of a sudden.
The town of Whoville fades away because you're getting to what is Crumpback Ridge, which is where the old dump is. And you find yourself going into like a rural space of more trees and some rural farms. And you see like you pass by. It's getting towards the probably evening now because it was the morning you went to the thing and then you had this, you had to get healed and get ready to go. And you pass by like a ranch of Hubis and their double-headed bodies and many legs just tumbling over each other, eating a dead one that killed itself by impaling itself on a piece of wood. And you see a farmer desperately going over to try and like get them to go away so they can remove the other body. Typical beautiful Whoovian, you know, rural.
It's a circle of life, you know? It's just nature and all
the pastoral
forms.
Sounds of the beasts going, kill me! Kill me!
Yeah, you hear the sound. You smell the manure, which for Whoobies.
I love nature.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, you smell the smell
spend
of manure.
I could spend all my time on a farm. I really could.
Kill me.
Could you imagine waking up to that in the morning?
Yes, but who fowls also feel that way?
Yeah.
They're the ones that coo in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The beasts.
The beasts are
oh, the
like...
Beast. Okay.
The beasts, some have more feathers than others.
Yeah. Kill me.
The beast's manure all smells like pumpkin pie, so you just smell like manure, but it's pumpkin pie just in the fields.
Probably because the sunlight probably hurts their skin, you know, just feeling that on
too
their
much,
skin is just
too much sun. Lots of shade areas.
A lot of bears, yeah.
So given that's one's what Whoobie's manure smells like, do we equate pumpkin pie with like something disgusting in our society?
No, it's, you know, pumpkin pie came before Whoobie's, live Whoobie's, right? But you do see like a Whoobie's that's just eaten an owl alive and it's just crunching its bones and consuming it. And then you get to the edge of what is essentially the edge of a lot of this sort of rural space and what is a Christmas tree farm. Now it's basically built up against a side of the mountain. It's very far back end of Mount Crumpet, kind of going towards the back. Because Mount Crumpet's kind of like a big arching mountain. So on the back end of it is where Crumpback Ridge is, and this is the Christmas tree farm is kind of connected or closer to the back of Mount Crumpet. As you get up towards this Christmas tree farm, it is getting darker because it's now evening, and you notice like a truck just outside the Christmas tree farm, and you see a driveway, and you see one large two-story farmhouse. A barn is behind the farmhouse, a little bit of in the back, and that is where the general farm is of Christmas trees. So they're all lined up in rows behind this house, and there's some fencing to kind of denote where the property line is. There's two lights on in this house. One is on the second floor and one is on the bottom floor. And that is what you see as you kind of drive up. The driver parks the car and looks at all of you and asks, I can just stay here if you want, or stay outside the car, whatever you prefer.
Oh, honey, I don't want to put you in the... We're here up to some serious stuff, and I just don't... We need you at your best behavior right now and best health, you know?
Okay.
We can't risk it.
So all the more reason you should keep the engine running in case we need to get the fuck out of here in a hurry.
Keep the engine running.
Okay, I can keep the engine running, and I'll turn the car around so that I can face back where we went.
Keep it running.
So they go, oh, okay, and they keep the
wait,
the
but I want them to lock themselves in the car because I fucking know this bullshit. Some shit will come up, you know.
You
want
to ask him to lock the door as well?
Yeah.
He asks,
like, be vigilant.
He goes, sure. I mean, but don't I need to keep the door unlocked so you can get in quickly if you need to leave?
Honey, I'll give you a signal. Like when we're running to you, I'll give you a signal.
Okay. So
you're looking forward to a signal.
I can do that. He locks the doors, and as you go, starts to drive the thing around in a big U-turn.
Yeah.
You walk up to this farmhouse, and you knock, I assume, on the door. Who wants to knock on the door first?
Probably the policeman, girl, woman, person.
Sure, okay.
So Sandra knocks. No one comes to the door right away. Do you knock again?
Yeah, we'll knock again. Why not?
Okay, so Valerie, you knock after. You hear some scuffling.
Oh,
and after like a minute or two, you hear something kind of go towards the door. And then there's a latch unlock, and then the door opens just like a crack. And you see a person look through the side and say, "Who's there?"
"It's Robbie. This is my Christmas tree farm."
"I'm Robbie."
"No, you're not."
You want to say the check?
This is great.
Or fast talk. Actually, do fast talk.
Wait, why? You can't be wrong. I'm like blanking out right now.
Fast talk. Oh, but my persuasion's better.
There was weird money like funneling to this defunct Christmas tree farm.
No, I do not succeed fast talk.
Okay, so he looks and goes, "I'm not buying anything you're selling."
"Well, are you selling anything we're buying?"
"Well, what we'd like to ask you about..." "What we'd like to
That's
ask you about
That's why we're here at Robbie's Christmas tree."
You hear like a bunch of latches, 6, 7, 8 latches go off, open. "You want Christmas tree?" "Yeah, we got Christmas tree."
"Oh, okay.
Why don't you show us your supply?"
"Okay, yeah. Big. Oh, it's great." You see this man opens the door, a bit of a pot belly, wearing like a flannel outfit, like a lumberjack, but if he hadn't slept for 3 days. And a little bit off kilter, he's got a bunch of beans, like he just made chili, and it's just all over this front of his shirt.
What a corrupted being, definitely touched by the madness.
Yeah, and exactly. As he opens,
not made of fruitcake, made of beans.
As he opens it, you smell beans. A little waft of like pine needles, just from maybe the inside the house, you know, of what he's been, because it is again this Christmas tree farm.
I would be shocked if it smelled like anything else.
Yeah,
it's a Christmas tree farm.
And he goes,
"Spruce needle."
I've got a thing for this. He quickly like goes to the side of the door. He ruffles through random things. He throws bits of stuff onto the ground, newspapers that haven't been opened, old, just stacks of newspapers that have been left here. He pulls out flyers and he says, "Okay, so. This is the Robbie tree guarantee. You can get any Christmas tree on the lot, and we got real good natural Christmas trees. None of that awful bullshit that's made of random crap that you get over in the town, so you can't put a real Christmas tree. And I got different types."
Well, how many Christmas trees do you usually sell?
How many types?
How many do you sell in the season?
A lot. We're having a little bit slow year, but generally we have a good year followed by a slow year. So it's just that it's worth waiting for the good year.
And when was the last time you had a good year?
Yes. Good time ago. But we're on the up and up now.
But you believe that maybe in a few more years you'll have, or maybe next year or this year, you'll have a few good years to make up for all the bad?
Yeah, it could happen any time. That's what my investors tell me.
I look at investors. You guys.
You've got investors?
Yeah.
I look at you guys and I telepathically say, like, what kind of money funneling will go to this? Like, exactly. You see this shit? Like, got, if,
so what makes a real Christmas tree opposed to a fake bullshit piece of crack?
Yeah, crack. Okay,
I mean, my Christmas tree isn't made out of random things. It's made out of 100% pure polyethylene.
He's one single tear. He just looks at you with, like, hatred.
What do you want for Christmas?
It's all right. We hate him, too.
Oh, well, I want for Christmas for everyone to get a Christmas tree.
Okay.
And you can have a Christmas tree in your house. And even if you don't think you want a Christmas tree, I'm pretty sure you'll like having a Christmas tree if you have my Christmas trees.
I don't know if he's what just a little, you know,
Christmas trees. What makes your Christmas tree so much better?
Well, okay, so we've got these flyers, right? I've got over 425 different types of Christmas trees.
That's almost too many. That's too many options and for
choice paralysis.
It's divided by the size of things. Like,
it's a paradox of choice. You're overwhelming your customer.
They need to have more choices, more options.
Why everyone don't you pick your favorite Christmas tree for
can
us?
Can I, like, psychoanalysis him? Yeah. I'm sorry. Like,
just show us your favorite Christmas
my
tree.
My favorite? Okay, so it's on page 300, and he opens the flyer.
God. Wait, so I rolled 78. Yeah. It used to be 75, but now it's 83. So now actually it's a pass. Jesus.
This person looks like they are desperately holding on to a dream, and it's not working.
Okay.
So can I ask you? So you've had a couple of down years.
Yeah.
Right? How have you kept this place going all this time? How have you been weathering the storm? Just curious, as one from one arbor enthusiast to another.
Oh, I had another arbor enthusiast came by.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I would love to know their name so I could.
It was a different people, but I remember one day a group from Santa's little helper store, that one, they came and offered me a deal to put my trees in their stores, and I was really excited.
Well, that's wonderful to hear that.
Yeah.
And they haven't bought from you since.
They said next year, well, my good year is gonna start. Yeah,
they said next year. So have they bought from you any at all?
I said, so no, because it's for next year. My good year's gonna start. Yeah.
What did they do? When did they come?
And it was this year, but it was a couple months ago.
Oh, a couple
months
ago.
That's where they happened. Yeah.
And so, what have they asked for in return?
Everything.
All your trees.
Everything.
What is everything?
I could show you all our tree decoration options. You should come in for lunch or dinner. Is it nighttime? I forget what time of day it is right now. You should come in and we'll give you a nice little tree demo.
Well, yeah, I would love that. Demo. Can you do it right now, though? Because I feel
I can come inside and I'll show you. He starts to walk towards his kitchen. And the door is open, but you can choose to
I'm
go.
I'm gonna walk.
So just I'm gonna nothing whisper you guys here. That my, I'm gonna let my the dad's other two department
go first and discreetly draw my gun and follow.
my dad's department store is called
Santa's Little Helper.
Also, this guy sounds shockingly like Buffalo Bill.
He's fucking. He ran a Christmas tree.
Oh yeah, I got something in my it's just around it's downstairs actually. Yeah.
It pokes right the in. Cloves into the orange, yeah, or else it gets the hose again.
Yeah, exactly.
Precious. Precious.
Yeah. So you walk in and you see a house that's in disarray, but some like accoutrements of maybe a past life, photos of his family. A wife and a young kid, a boy, in the space. They're not really well kept. There's dust everywhere. It's not really clean anymore. You come into a living room that has wood shavings everywhere and weird things scattered about. While you're in the room, I'll get you to do a spot hidden.
Hidden?
And all of you can try this.
Fuck yeah, that's my specialty.
I like double succeed.
Spot hidden, which I increase it? Four. I did increase it. Hell yeah.
A good? Or
no, oh, I bad. Got an 84.
Oh, so no. You did not get a succeed.
I needed 82.
I got 29 and I needed like a 75.
71.
So Valerie succeeds. Valerie, you're looking back towards you as everyone walks in because you're paying attention to the car that's been driving around to park again. And
it's our car?
Your car with the driver in it. The driver looks at you, gives a little wave, and you a little wave back. And as you wave, you notice that the trees have come closer to the car and you don't know how. And
like they move further away from us?
The car parked, but they're closer to the car. That's all you see as then the door, you know, closes behind you. And then you come into this space. You sit down and you just sort of get kind of comfortable as best you can. And this man comes out with a shaky set of dirty cups that he's filled with essentially what he thinks is a drink. And he goes, I've been working on some new Christmas-themed stuff. So this is pine water tea. He puts a bunch of dirty-looking water in front of you. And I'll show you a demonstration. This is, I'll just get a...
Oh, there is a demonstration.
Yeah.
No, there's a demonstration.
Now, normally my wife would help me.
Anyways, I'm gonna go and get the tree.
All right. You wait right here, and you don't move.
Why don't move?
Because I'm gonna give you the demonstration.
Well, I could just come with you and give you a hand.
No, I have to go get the tree myself, so I can show you all the different how to use it, and then we'll go out into the field and we'll walk and you choose your tree. It's a part of my business plan. We got to make sure
it's an interactive kind of experience.
Oh, you can drink your pine tea, and I'll get you a tree.
That's kind of rhymes.
Yeah,
that's
exactly. Right.
I'm not really that thirsty, to be honest. Like I had a full bottle of tree water before I came here. So
wait, there's a thing called tree water?
I'm not parched. I'm not. Yeah,
this isn't new.
Well, it's been around for a while.
When was the last time you got out of here?
How many seasons ago? Oh, fuck.
You've run out of fingers.
It was a Sunday.
It was a Sunday.
A Sunday.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
when I gave everything.
So I don't need to drink it, but I would still be a part of the interactive.
Okay. Yeah. You won't be the same if you don't have it. But
I'm sorry. You're saying they asked for everything in return and you already gave it?
I gave everything, yeah. But it's great. That's where my business is going to pick up.
And does that have anything to do with where your trees come from?
No. My trees have been here for generations. They're special trees.
So when you say that it will be a different experience, what exactly are you saying? Maybe I could have a taste if that's something.
Oh, the pine juice tree?
Yeah. Why is it so important for the...
Because you've got to... I feel like people, you know, we're so used to, like, not being a part of what it means to be really in the forest with the trees. You get all the fake trees and all the fake things.
Okay, so we're just going to be tripping balls in the trees.
Oh,
okay.
I think he's going to try to turn us into trees.
That's what I was thinking, too. Yeah.
Oh, I don't think that's what's happening. I think this is going to fucking be a mushroom trip.
Wait,
I think it's totally consistent with this situation that we have these conversations in Diogenes, right in front of him.
You don't have to drink it.
So is he
going to
kill us this way?
But I want him to drink it.
He's just talking to himself. Yeah. And I gotta go grab a tea.
You don't have to drink the tea, but he has his own cup, so he'll drink it all. It's boiling hot.
Okay.
I'll wait for mine to cool down.
Okay, it's always better when it's a little bit hot. But
this is scalding hot though.
Is it? Okay. Yeah.
Your mouth is bright red and it looks like it's been burned to a crisp.
Yeah, I'll go get the tree.
See? He grabs a rusty looking axe that he starts to basically lumberman's axe that he's just in the room. He opens a door.
No one spotted that when we came in.
Yeah, no one rolled high enough because you were seeing someone else. Axe.
Yeah.
He opens a door and goes out and then the door closes. As he goes out to get this tree, you wait for a minute. And then you hear a very loud sound.
Okay. I'm going to take a sip of my tea.
Yeah, you can take a sip of your tea. So you take a sip.
It's actually quite good.
Do a con check.
Just do a con check, you know. Don't worry.
Do a pow check.
Actually, do a con, pow, psych, all of it. Just every check.
I'm middle. Yeah, I did. Okay. Second tier.
It tingles on your tongue, and your something tongue just feels a little bit
happening
like,
on my tongue.
Yeah, it feels like it gets a little stiff, but then it ends. As you are waiting, you sip the tea. You hear a very loud crunching and like physical loud sound. And
are you hearing that?
The door, front door, which you didn't lock again, opens as the driver runs in and goes, the chase. They took the car.
What?
And you look outside and you see the car being dragged slowly into the woods by roots.
But have you tried this tea?
No.
No.
And that's where we'll end our session.